spread of the coronavirus Delta variant is giving economists more reason for pause. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start in China, where fresh data today show prices at the factory gate rose 9% last month, outpacing economists' expectations. Coupled with a slowdown from last year's pace in both imports and exports, the figures are fueling concerns about the sustainability of the country's economic recovery from the pandemic, as COVID-19 infections reached the highest level since January. Economist Neil Shearing from Capital Economics says there are three strands to the challenges China is now facing.
Having had a relatively good crisis, China's economy is now slowing. And that sets the backdrop for two other challenges. The first of those is growing unease about government crackdowns on certain sectors of the economy. Late last month in July, we had a crackdown in the private education sector that sent the equity market into a tailspin. That was preceded by a crackdown on the ride-hailing firm Didi. And now we've got media reports of a crackdown on the tech sector. And then the final thing that's happening is that we're seeing an increase in coronavirus case numbers as the Delta variant spreads.
You mentioned the regulatory crackdown from China on its own technology companies. We've seen several new headlines this morning about a couple of companies choosing to list closer to home. We have China Telecom, which has been delisted from the U.S. It's eyeing a listing in Shanghai. The FT is reporting today that ByteDance is looking to Hong Kong. So how much is this sort of growing concerns about the clampdown in China kind of an indication of structural challenges facing China's economy?
I think it's inherently bound up in the structural challenges facing China's economy. The great success story of the past century has been China's rapid economic growth. But now we're getting to a stage where it's not just enough for the state to move people off of agriculture into industry. The market needs to do more work in terms of allocating resource. But that's coming alongside the point where actually the government is starting to reassert its authority within the economy. So there's this tension between the political kind of drive and towards centralization and the economic need for the market to do more work. And that's playing out in lots of different parts of the economy. But one manifestation is what's happening in technology.
So will this cause more pain in a more sustained way across the Chinese economy for, I guess, the foreseeable future?
I don't sense that we're on the cusp of a much feared hard landing in China. The idea that China's economy grows at 5, 6, 7, 8% a year, that's gone. We're going to have to get used to China growing at 3%, 4%, those type of rates. And when you compound that over many, many years, with this idea that China's just going to overtake the US, become the world's biggest economy, that most people now anticipate, I don't think is necessarily as certain as most people anticipate. In fact, I don't think it will happen.
Neil Shearing from Capital Economics. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, despite concerns about the sustainability of China's economic recovery, the Shanghai Composite Index rose 1% today. Meanwhile, global oil prices are down about 4% as investors fret about how new COVID-19 restrictions across Asia could affect recovering demand for oil and gas. Efforts to contain wildfires have been continuing in several countries around the world. A blaze in Northern California has destroyed hundreds of buildings, while the extent of damage of fires on Greece's second biggest island have forced dozens of villages to be evacuated, while ferries are on standby to bring more people to safety. From Avia, the BBC's Bethany Bell has more on that.
Wildfires spit and crackle on the hills in Avia. More villages in the north of the island have been evacuated. Holidaymakers and locals are hurrying to the port of Edipsos to get ferries to take them to the mainland. Chris works on Avia as a singer. He says the wildfires are spreading and the authorities aren't doing enough.
The most people see that we don't have any help until yesterday, and they could save everybody. And it wasn't true. The people don't know where to go. The big problem is that we feel that they let us burn.
Firefighters are struggling to stop the fires, but it's an uphill task because of the extreme heat and scorching winds. The government says its priority is to save lives. Nikos Hardalias is the Deputy Minister for Civil Protection.
The battle against the wildfires across the country was being carried out throughout the night by the fire brigade, the armed forces, the police, the Hellenic Coast Guard, and the firemen who came from several countries to assist in the huge effort to save lives and properties and to limit the damage to the environment.
Here in the town of Istia, people have gathered at a cafe and they're watching news reports about a burning village just a few minutes' drive from here. There's a real sense of distress. Some people have houses there. In another village on the seashore, people wait nervously to board a ferry. There's no port here. The boat has docked in the shallow waters of what's usually a tourist beach. It's time to leave. The sky is an eerie orange colour because of the thick smoke and ash, which makes it harder to breathe. Isadora says it's frightening.
It's like a scene of an apocalyptic movie, definitely, because there is no sky, the sun is red. It's quite scary.
Greece's Prime Minister has called this a nightmarish summer. Everyone here in Evia is just hoping the fires will stop.
That's the BBC's Bethany Bell reporting from Evia there. Well, as natural disasters continue across the world, this morning the UN has released its most comprehensive report into climate change, taking knowledge from more than 14,000 scientific studies. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change predicts more extreme heat, rain, and drought as greenhouse gases continue to cause temperatures to rise. It estimates the planet's average surface temperature will hit 34.7 degrees above pre-industrial levels around 2030. That's a full decade earlier than forecast. The panel says the worst catastrophes can still be avoided and that the climate will stabilize. It's calling on governments to help by slashing emissions over the next decade. In November, the British government will host the UN Climate Change Conference, known as COP26, in Glasgow. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said he hopes today's report serves as a wake-up call for the world to take action. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.